Holy Ghost came by my way. Amen. Never been the same since. Can I say if he came by your way and you met him, you ain't been the same since neither. Amen. If you don't know what we're talking about, you need to get saved. Amen. Right. Just no cut and dry about it. Hey, you just need to get saved. Amen. Right. Amen. All right. Amen. I'm glad, amen, that the story never grows old. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. Amen. Mark chapter 6. Good crowd on Sunday night. Amen. It could be better, but hey, we praise the Lord for those that's here. Amen. I'm glad that you're here. Amen. Amen. Appreciate what the Lord's doing at New Hope. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. He's been good to us, ain't he, Kiko? Amen. Does it feel good to be saved? Yeah. Amen. Kiko got saved this week. Who else got saved this week? Anybody else get saved this week? Trenton got saved this week. He got saved last week, wasn't he? Amen. This is the first day of a brand new week. He said, I've been saved a week already. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Mark chapter number 6. Amen. Y'all know what it's like to be a new creature? Do you know? Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I know. Amen. It don't matter how old you are. When God saves you, he makes a new creature out of you. Amen. And the Bible ain't going to change it, and so we ain't going to change it, all right? Amen. All right, I tell them, listen, if you ain't never been made a new creature, hey, you've never been saved. Amen. Amen. So that's old-fashioned, preacher. Yeah, it's so old-fashioned. It's in the Bible. Amen. That'll work. All right. All right, we'll quit meddling and start preaching, all right? All right. Amen. Hallelujah. You glad to be here? Amen. Mark chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number, we'll just jump in about verse 30. The Bible says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done, what they had taught. And verse 31 says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. The people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to the heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And verse 46 says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He departed into a mountain to pray. If we was to go over to Matthew chapter number 14, you can look there if you want. You don't have to. In Matthew 14 and verse number 23, the same story. The Bible said he constrained, in verse 22, he constrained his disciples to get in a ship to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23 says, when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. He was there alone. And then again in John chapter number 6, the same story given by the Apostle John. John chapter number 6, Jesus, or the Bible says of Jesus in verse 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. With his disciples. Verse 5 says, when Jesus lifted in up his eyes, he saw a great multitude coming to him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he goes on to talk about the feeding of the 5,000. But verse number 15 of John chapter number 6, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So we've got some different views of just exactly how this happened, but it's the same exact story. And the point I want to bring out tonight, and I want to preach on this thought, is coming apart. Coming apart. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we need you tonight. We thank you for what you did this morning, God. Lord, and what a wonderful week you've given us this week in Jubilee Revival. And God, Lord, how around here these recent days you've been stirring and working and saving souls. And God, we're thankful for that. But God, tonight we come to you fresh and anew. And God, we need you. God, I need you, this preacher. God, I stand where the arm of flesh can, will, and surely has failed. But God, tonight I need you tonight. And God, I'm asking you, God, for your touch. I'm asking you to fill me, Lord, from the tip of my shoe to the top of my head, God. I pray you fill me with the Holy Ghost and lead us, guide us, direct us in all that we say and do. God, I pray for the people that are here tonight. I thank you for their faithfulness to be at church on a Sunday night. I pray, God, it wouldn't just be a time of killing time for them. It wouldn't be a waste of time for them. But, God, they would get something tonight from your word, by your Holy Spirit tonight, that you would impart some truth to them that would help them in their life, that they might live a better life for you. God, I pray you'd bless tonight and have your will and way. And, Lord, I pray you'd be glorified in all we do. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible said Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter number 6, in verse number 31, he told them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. You know, it's easy sometimes as we go through even, you know, what we would term the motions. We go through the motions of going to church, of serving God, of being faithful, as you will, as we ought to be. It's easy sometimes as we go through the Christian life, we're sort of like if I could term it like this, we're sort of like a car. And you fill that car up with gas, and you take that car and run it up and down the road all week, and there comes a point in the time when that car runs out of gas. And you've got to take that car back to a particular place. You've got to take that car back to the gas pump if you're going to keep going. Are you with me? And I will say, as a Christian, sometimes we run into areas of our life and we run into circumstances, even in ministry. You're witnessing to people. You're trying to love people and help people. And sometimes the load gets heavy. Sometimes it wears you down. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it does tug on you. Not just spiritually, but physically sometimes even. In the ministry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just get tired. You're not tired of the work, but you're tired in the work. Amen? And the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing. Amen? We're not weary in doing the well, but we're weary sometimes of doing the well. Sometimes just going about the business of what we do. Sometimes life just tends to wear you down. And sometimes we look here in the life of the Lord Jesus here. He's telling his disciples to come apart. Come them. He said, come ye, he said, yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And you know, there's some people that they frown on any type of rest. But can I say that as a Christian, you need rest. You need rest to properly think right. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much the Bible you read. You need physical rest. Amen? And I know there's some people say, well, I don't want to, you know, sit around and rust out. I'd rather burn out than rust out. And there's a debate there. There's a balance there also. And I will say, as a Christian, you need the proper rest. I just go with me in my mind back to Elijah when he's up underneath that juniper tree and he's pouting. And wishing he was dead. And you know, one of the things when God came to him, he spoke to him, he told him to get something to eat, and he gave him some rest. He gave him some time to sleep. And God helped him through that. God helped him get out of his state of, if you want to call it, depression or feeling sorry for. We sometimes in the ministry, we sometimes in the Christian life, we get wore down physically. Sometimes you deal with people, and man, we love people. We ought to love people, amen. I heard one preacher said, he said, I'd love the ministry if it wasn't for the people. He's not in the right line of work, amen. I'll just put it that way. You got to love people. And let me say, all Christians ought to love people. Everybody ought to love people. Bryson, we ought to love people, amen. If you don't love people, you don't love Jesus, according to the Bible. And you can't love God whom you've not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen. Amen. That's what 1 John says. But sometimes the truth of the matter is we deal with people and the struggles and the sin that's in this world and the struggles that people deal with, sometimes it's a heavy load. And sometimes it's wearisome. It's toilsome. Sometimes we deal with these things and we get wore out. So Jesus knows that his disciples, they're getting tired. He knows they've been walking. He knows they've been dealing with people. He knows what they've been going through. And he says, look, guys, come apart. He said, get some time away. Break apart. Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And then, you know, the story how they got in the boat. And we read it. We won't go all through it tonight. But they got in the boat and they went to the other side. And the people saw where they was going. And the people followed them. Y'all all right? The people follow. You know, people need the Lord. The old song said it, and it's still the truth. People need the Lord, and when they see somebody that really cares, they're gonna flock to them. They're going to try to come look for help. And so they came, and then Jesus dealt with them. He fed the 5,000. Y'all know the story. And then when he gets his disciples and he puts them on the ship in verse 45, then after he puts them on the ship, he personally, verse 46 of Mark 6, said he sent them away and he departed into a mountain to pray. Can I say this? A desert place is where he told them to go, to come apart. A desert place is a solitary, it's a lonely place, it's a desolate place, it's an uninhabited place. You hear people talk about the secret place. You've got to have a secret place. Can I say to you tonight, every Christian needs a desert place. Every child of God, you need a place where you can go. And I'm not talking about once in the blue moon. I'm talking about habitually. I'm talking about disciplined time that you go to what we call the secret place. You need a place where you can go and commune with God. You can go through the motions, and I'm going to say this, I'm trying to help you tonight, I want you to listen. You can go through the motions of the Christian life. You can witness, you can tell people, you can pass out tracts, you can go on visitation, you can go to church, but I'm going to tell you this, if you don't have a fellowship with God one-on-one, you're personally going to run out of gas. And can I say, when you do, it's going to wreck your life spiritually. It's going to wreck your life physically. It's going to wreck your life emotionally. It's going to wreck your family life. If you personally, your one-on-one time with God is not what it needs to be and not what it ought to be, you're going to have problems. I promise you. And so tonight, I want you to see some things about finding a desert place, a solitary place, a place where you can go and find refreshment, find communion with God. Jesus told his disciples to come apart. Can I say this? Every Christian needs to come apart. You say, preacher, what do you mean by come apart? I don't mean you're going to fly pieces, but somebody said this. You better come apart before you come apart. Amen. I will say this. Every child of God needs to come apart. Get away from the crowd. Get away from the multitudes. Get away. Hey, listen, I love church. Y'all know I do. The Bible says we're to be faithful to church. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day of approaching. Hey, we ought to be faithful to church. But I'm going to say to you that you better have some personal one-on-one time with God somewhere, sometime, daily in your life. You got to have a place. I'm going to say this. Number one, you got to come apart in order to play a part. You've got to come apart in order to play a part. You're not going to be functional. You're not going to be prepared to do what God would have you do in the Christian race. You're not going to be prepared because you're not going to have the mindset. You're not going to have your mission in your focus. You're not going to have your can I say this? You're not going to have your game plan if you're not in tune with God. You've got to get alone with God so that you can be able to play the part that He has you to play. In order for you to be functional in your role as a Christian, whatever your gift may be that you fulfill in the church house, you have got to spend time with God in order to be able to play and to pull out and to be prepared to carry out your part. Can I say the church needs you to carry out your part? Your family, Dad, needs you to play the right part. Mom, your kids and your husband need you to play the right part. Can I say this? Your church needs you to carry out your role. Amen? Hey, we need each other. Amen? Kids, your mom and dad, they need you. Hey, the church needs you. Youngins, hey, your friends around you and the people in your youth group and your Sunday school class, they're looking at you, they're watching you, they need you to have you spending time with God so that you can be prepared so that you are functioning in the capacity that God would have you to function. Yes, we need to come apart in order to play a part. Can I say this? Time spent with God is not a luxury, it's a necessity. Time, I'm talking about one-on-one devotional time with God, is a must in the life of a Christian. If you're ever going to have a successful, satisfying Christian life, if you're going to know the joy of the Lord, if you're going to be walking with Him and know that sweet thing, you have got to have time set aside for Him. Just like if you and your wife's going to get along, listen, you got to have time as you spend with your wife. Wives, you got to have time you spend with your husband. Hey, you have got to have time that you spend with God. Absolutely. It is a must. Can I say this? Not only do you come apart to play a part, but you better come apart so that you're not coming apart. And we're talking about not just being functional, but being faithful and productive. You got to get alone with God in order for you to be ready to serve. People that, you know, you watch their life and they start missing a Sunday here and they start missing a Wednesday here and they start missing. Can I say that long before they started missing Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, long before they started missing a Sunday here, I'm not talking about people that work, I'm talking about people that just missed a miss. Long before they start missing church services, they've already began. I already know that. I don't have to ask them. They've already began missing time spent with God when they should have been in the prayer closet, when they should have been in the secret place. You've got to come, hey, you have got to come apart from the crowd. There's got to be a time when you break away from the masses. There's got to be a time where you break from the masses, but you come closer to the Master. You've got to, are you listening, young people? We, as Christians, need a place. You say, what do we need this place? I say, just real quickly, we need a place where we can learn. I'm talking about a place one-on-one where we can learn from the Master. Jesus called His disciples apart and He began to teach them some things. He showed them some things when the disciples were with Him. He called them away from the crowds, away from the multitudes. He called them to a desert place and it was Him and the disciples, Him and the 12. You say, what? Why? Because He could teach them some things when He was with them that He could not teach them when the crowds were around. You study His life. You study the Gospels. He would teach a parable. He would give a parable, and the crowds would be confused. But then when the crowd would go away, Jesus would gather the 12, and He would explain to them the parable. Hey, I'm talking about where the masses are gone, but it's you and the Master. It's a time to learn. Let me say this. It's a time to listen. Time to listen. Many times we go to our prayer closet, we go to our place of prayer, and many times we do all the talking. And can I say, we ought to do some talking, but you better learn to do some listening. Can I say what He's got to say is more important than what you've got to say? And I'm not trying to be crazy and spooky tonight, but I'm trying to get you to hear the reality. The Bible still says, be still and know that I'm God. You better learn to recognize the sweet, small, still voice of the Holy Ghost. And can I say, He still speaks in the person of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about crazy, charismatic. No, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit bringing truth to your heart. He's bringing things to remembrance, things you've been taught, things you've read in the Word of God. And in this quiet place, in this secret place, in this solitude place, in this place, this desert place, where it's just you and God, just you and God, it's a place not only to learn, but it's a place to listen. It's a place for you to pray, and then as you listen, you start to learn to recognize the voice of God. Can I say that's probably, Brother Bobby Robertson spoke about it the other night, the leadership of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. That's probably one of the most lacking things in our churches and our Christian lives today is people do not recognize the voice of God speaking to them. The person of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it now in John 10, if you don't like it. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's what Jesus said, John 10, 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Do you hear the voice of God? I'm not talking about a loud, audible, you know, out of the speaker, but I'm talking about, it's not always the fire and the wind. Sometimes it's just that still, small voice. Do you recognize it? Can you discern the difference between God and everybody else? You got to learn to listen. You got to learn to be still. You've got to learn, hey, not only to learn and listen, but let me say this, it's a place where you can lay at his feet. You remember the story over there in Luke chapter number 10 about Mary and Martha? Martha was cumbered about, was serving, she was doing all this, and the Bible talked about how Mary just sat at his feet. Y'all remember the story? You know what Jesus said? I think it was in Luke 10:42. He said, "One thing is needful." One thing. Now, he wasn't throwing off on Martha and her servant. Martha was doing a good thing. But can I say, without sitting at his feet, you'll not be ready to carry out the work. And one thing, hey, you better be ready to, hey, not just to learn and not just, but just to lay at his feet. Just to spend time with him. Love on him and let him know, hey, here I am, God. What do you want me to do? I'm laying my life right here. Here I am. I'm presenting myself to you. I'm telling you, we could probably pull over, park, and preach this message for about 3 weeks. But the truth of the matter is, there's not a whole lot of this going on in Christian living where we really daily lay our life down and say, "Here I am, God. Here's my body. I present my life a living sacrifice. Here I am, God. I just want to lay at your feet. Here I am, God. Let me learn from you. Here I am, God. Speak to my..." We used to hear people talk, "God, speak to my..." Anybody ever heard that? "God, speak to my heart today." He's speaking to a lot of people that ain't listening. But you'll hear him when you start laying down at his feet, sitting at his feet. Say, "Here I am, God." And then just learn in the quietness to be still and listen. What he says, I promise you, what he says, you will know because it will be in total agreement with this book. You won't have to get up and say, "Did he tell me something crazy? Did he tell me this or that?" Hey, what he says will be right in line with his word. And if you're not reading his word, listening to his word preached, listening to the word taught, I promise you, you're never going to hear him speak. But I'm telling you, every child of God needs a place to learn, a place to listen, and a place to lay at the feet of Jesus. Jesus first was with his disciples at the beginning when he told them to come apart. But then he sends them on a ship in verse 45 and 46. And in verse 46, Jesus, the Bible said himself, he sent them away and he departed to a mountain to pray. Can I say, if the Lord Jesus, God Almighty, needed time away from the masses, are y'all with me? He needed time away from even his closest disciples. He needed time away from those who he was pouring into. It is important in ministry that we pour into the lives of others. Can I say I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't have something to give you when it was time for service, if I didn't have something to pour into you. But can I say there's got to be some time where listen to me, there's got to be a time when your pastor spends time with God or he's not going to have anything to give you. Because he's going to come to church empty if he's not been at the well himself. And can I say that when you go throughout your life and you're going to work or to school, you're not going to have anything to give somebody when they need help if you hadn't been at the well. Hey, if you've not been down at the well drawing some water, if you've not been down there getting some water, hey, you're not going to have anything to give somebody else. And I promise you, there's going to be some people hurting. There's going to be some people coming into your life, and they're going to be asking for some help. They're going to be asking for some advice. And if you ain't been in this book, if you ain't spent time with God, if you hadn't spent time at the feet of Jesus, you're not going to be any good to them. I promise you. Jesus knew the importance. Jesus saw the necessity. Jesus, I'm talking about God in flesh, the God-man, Jesus, he came apart and he went up on a mountain to pray. And I want to say some things about this place. I want to say something about the place when Jesus went to the mountain, when he went to a place of exclusion. Every child of God needs a place like this. You may not have to climb a mountain. I promise you, you know, you may not have to drive too far. You may not have to drive. You may find a place in your house. But you need to find a place. You need to find a place as a Christian. If you're going to have a successful Christian life. It has nothing to do with money. It's more to do with ministry. If you're going to carry out the role that God has for you, you're going to have to find a place where you personally spend time with God. I want to be personal. Brother, Miss Tracy, you Christian school teacher. Brother Steve, you're a police. Brother Jimmy, you're the junk man. Hey, Brother Jerry, you make asphalt. Wherever you are in your role, you're a school teacher, you're not going to have what your children need that you deal with day in and day out. You're not going to have what the people that you face day in and day out. Brother Rodney, you're not going to, hey, you got a lot of people that you can witness to in your life and be a help to. You're not going to have what you need to give them if you don't spend time at the feet of Jesus. But you got to find time. You got to find a place. Hey, can I say Jesus found a place? Jesus went to the mountain. The Bible speaks about how he got away from the crowds. He even sent away his closest 12. We read about it this morning, how they went out there in the storm. But while they were in the storm, Jesus was on a mountain praying. I want to say some things about this place. Number one, and I'm going to say this, not only did Jesus have a place, but I want to say every Christian needs this place. Can I say number one, it is the secret place. The Bible said in verse 45 and 46 that he constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and he sent them away in verse 45. He sent away the people, and in verse 46, he sent them away, and watch this, and he departed into a mountain to pray. In verse 32, he talks, and back in verse 32, he had talked to his disciples, and he said they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Privately. You know, the secret place is a place of privacy. It's a place that nobody else knows about. It may be in the car going to work, where you have a secret place. It may be, can I say, it may be your closet, physically a closet you have. It may be the pantry. It may be the den. It may be beside your bed. When nobody else is there, and you're there, and you get there secretly. It's not something you tell somebody about. You don't tell people about your secret place. Are you with me tonight? Jesus didn't tell his disciples where he was going. He departed. Hey, away from them. He's departing. He's leaving them. He puts them on a ship and he departs into a mountain to pray. I don't think anybody knew where he was. They just knew later on, hey, he must have went up on that mountain. They don't know where he was. I've heard of men talk about it. I heard of men that had a secret place in a boiler room. Men had a secret place in different places. I don't know where your place may be. I'm not here tonight. It really doesn't matter where your place is. But can I encourage you? Can I challenge you as a Christian to find a place? Find you a place, a secret place, where you go to meet with God. You say, preacher, are you crazy? No, I'm helping you tonight if you'll listen. This is a practical truth in the Christian life, much overlooked and neglected. Most, let's be honest, most, the higher percentage of Christians, they're saved as they can be, but they go through their Christian life and they live their Christian life flippantly. They don't give any detail to the Christian life. And whereas if they gave the same amount of detail to their jobs that they give the Christian life, they wouldn't have a job very long. If they gave the same detail to their marriage that they give to their Christian life, they wouldn't be married very long. Are you with me? But in the Christian life, they're like, well, you know, it don't matter. I'm saved. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, you need to have a place where you personally go. And you know where it's at. You don't have to tell nobody else where it's at. But you go there. In your mind, some of you's thinking, you got a place. Maybe you don't have a place. Maybe you're thinking about, where could I do? Can I challenge you? If you don't have a place, find a place where you can go daily. Where you, hey, just you and God. It may be out in the woods. Maybe on a boat. Maybe in a car. Maybe, I don't know where it may be. It could be in a gym. You go somewhere where you get away from everybody else. And you have a secret place with God. Can I say this? Not as a secret place, but it's a solitude place. The Bible said he was alone. He was alone. In other words, here it is. It's not just secret, but when you go there, there's nobody else there. It's you and God. And you go there to fellowship with God. You've put away the multitudes. You've put away the masses. You've put away ministry for the time being. You go there in the secret place, in the solitude place. You say, preacher, I ain't got time for that. That's what's wrong with our society. That's what's wrong with our churches. We're so busy. Let me say this. If you're too busy to spend time with God, you're too busy. It's a solitude place. It's a place where it's just you and God. Nobody else. Wives, moms, you get away from the kids. Dads, you get away from the kids just for a little while. You find you a place where you can go. Young people, this is good for you. If you're going to have a Christian life, it's going to please God, you've got to find early in life a secret place. Somewhere where you can go and talk with God. A solitude place, a place of fellowship. Let me say this, a silent place. You get away from the crowds. You put aside the voices. What did he say in Psalm 46? Be still and know that I'm God. He said here, he went there into the mountain. There was nobody. There's no distraction. He's getting away from all the distractions, all the voice. He put away not only the multitudes but his disciples, the voices. Can I say, in our lives that we live in society and the culture in which we live, there's a lot of distractions. How many would agree? You've got television, you've got cell phones, you've got, can I see that a second? You've got technology. I mean, it seems as if my wife fusses at me all the time because, you know, the cell phone, the computer, this and that. And the truth is we spend the things that are supposed to make our life easier and save us time, they tend to take up our time. I'm being honest. I'm raising my hand. Guilty as charged. The things that are supposed to save us time wind up taking up our time. We get away from the voices. We get away from the technology. We get away from everybody and everything. And we learn to meditate. And I'm not talking about the transcendental meditation that George Strait talked about. I'm not talking about crazy Eastern mysticism. I'm talking about meditating, dwelling my mind on the Word of God. Remember, we're going there to learn, to listen, and to lay down at His feet. So if we're going to learn and we're going to listen, we've got to listen to His Word. Amen? That's how He speaks to us, through the Word. The Holy Spirit speaking to us through His Word. So we go there and it's a place of meditation. It's a place where maybe you go and you take the notes that you took or the thoughts that you gathered from the message on Sunday or from your Bible reading, and you go there and you read and you have a devotional book, you have a Bible time to read there, and you go there and you don't just talk, but you meditate, you muse, you dwell on what the Word of God has said to you. And you meditate, you go over and over, and you say, God, speak to me. It's not enough. Can I help you today? It's not enough just to read a chapter or two in your Bible every day if you never think about what you read. You've got to meditate. You've got to take what God has said in His Word and think about it, dwell on it, meditate. Remember Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The idea, he brings it up. He's churning on it. He's getting everything he can out of the Word of God. You meditate on it. It's a time. It's a place where you go, and it's a silent place. It's not necessarily a place to go and do the talking. I've said this before. It's a place where you go and you listen. God, speak to me. God, help me. God, what would you have me do? God, how would you have me handle this situation? And instead of telling him, God, I'm going to do this, will you bless it? You go there and you say, God, what would you have me do? And you listen. And you meditate on His Word. And you bring to memory Scripture. That's why it's important sometimes to memorize some Scripture. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Hey, how are you going to meditate on it? How are you going to not sin against God if you never hide it in your heart? It's a silent place. The stillness. Let's say this, it's a secluded place. He called them apart. He himself went into a mountain. Secluded. Away. Apart. You get the idea? Apart. It's not like I've got my secret place, you know, while my kids are playing at my feet, I'm watching TV, I have my... No. You come away from that. Maybe you go out in the woods. Maybe it is... When you go hunting, I'm not trying to help you get an excuse to go hunting or fishing, but maybe it's a time when you get out in the woods and you have time to throw all the cares of the world to the side for a little while, and you can talk to God, and you can listen, and you can sit, and you can meditate on the Word of God. Maybe it's when you go jogging. Maybe some people may find some solitude and some seclusion from the world if they can go jogging. I don't know. Maybe it is, ladies, maybe it's in your washroom. Not to wash, but to go. And you shut, nobody wants to come in there anyway. Can I get a witness, ladies? So you go there and shut the door knowing good and well nobody else is coming in there. And you can go there somewhere. I don't know where, somewhere. You find a place. A secluded place. Apart, away. Maybe it's on a mountain. Maybe it's on top of your house. I don't know. Somewhere. Somewhere there's got to be a place. Can I say that? It's a sure place. A sure place. Definite. He went into a mountain. It's a definite place. It's a devotional place. It's a time where you don't go there for recreation, but you go there for devotion. You may read your word. You may pray and you listen and you learn. It's a time that you have personally set aside, disciplined, devoted, devotional for you and God. You with me? It's not a time when I turn on my iPod and listen to my favorite five songs. Well, I was quiet. I listened. No. Hold on. Get rid of the technology. Get rid of the TV, the computer, the cell phones. Get rid of all the voices. I promise you there's a lot of voices. And I said this morning, you better listen and you better learn to discern and be careful what voices you're listening to. There's a lot of homes that are wrecked because people listen to the wrong voices. There's a lot of young people that think, well, this is the will of God because I heard it. And they got all these people in their ears. Marry this one. Go here. Work here. Go to this college. Go there. And they better learn. Listen, I'm trying to help somebody. You've got to learn to listen to the voice of God. It's a devotional place. It's a daily place. Daily. That's where the discipline comes in. Discipline that you personally know, hey, whether it's when you first get up in the morning, that's probably the best time. I didn't used to be a morning person. I'm still not a morning, but I hate mornings, to be honest with you. I mean, I like mornings. I like seeing them when I wake up, but I just don't like waking up. Y'all know what I'm saying? Early morning. I'd rather stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning than get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what I'm trying to help you understand what I'm saying. But I've learned that in my Christian life, it's better for me. I used to do my Bible reading, my prayer time, my quiet time, my devotions, and my meditation. I used to do it all right before I went to bed. But I have learned over the years that it is better to get up, and that'd be the first thing that I do in the day. When I hit the floor, go somewhere, and I've got a place. My house is not that big, but I've got a place. I had to change my places, by the way, when I got married. But I've got a place where I go, Brother Dennis, and I spend time with God. I'll pray, I'll do my Bible reading, and I'll stop and I'll listen. You got to have a place, and I'm saying it needs to be a daily disciplined thing. Not a rut. But it ought to be something you cherish and something. It's like reporting for orders, sir. Need your help, sir. What should I do, sir? Well, listen to Oprah. And I know Christians who listen to Oprah. They listen to Dr. Field. They listen to Rush. They listen to Hannity. Some of these may have some good in and of them. Most of them are garbage. And we fill our minds, we fill our thought process up with everything the world gives us, but we have no time. We don't have 15, 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. We don't have some time that you can get alone in a secluded place, in a definite place daily and spend time with God. You mean you got time to be on Facebook for 3 hours a day, but you ain't got 30 minutes for God? You mean you could tweet and tweet and tweet and tweet, but you can't retreat? Get away from the masses. Get away from the media. Get alone with the master. I'm preaching to me as well as I'm preaching to you. We have got to find time for him. It's a supplicating place. The Bible said he went to the mountain to pray. Sometimes praying involves speaking. Sometimes praying involves, hey, God, I need. God, would you meet this need? Sometimes we go there and we do pray. We supplicate. We ask God for, hey, can you meet this petition? Can I help you out, Bryson? You saved? Know it. Let me say this. If you ever have a need, you don't have to go ask Gary. You don't have to ask Mom and Daddy. If you've got a need, you've got a biblical right that you can go straight to God in heaven and say, God, I've got a need. Say, he's just a child. Call unto me. Jeremiah 33:3 is in the book. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. He will hear and answer prayer if we learn. John 15 says, abide in him. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, he said, you ask what you want. Whatever you will, he said, and I'll do it unto you. I'll give you whatever you ask. I ain't got that exactly right, but that's pretty much what it says in John 15. But we have got to learn to abide in him. And the reason that a lot of prayers aren't answered, the reason you don't get a lot of things you ask for, is because we don't spend the time daily and routinely to abide in him. We don't have time. We're too busy. I got to go here. I got to go there. And we meet every deadline and every quota we've got except for the deadline to spend time with him. And then we say, oh, how I love Jesus. But every priority in the world takes precedent in most people's lives over spending time with him. Think about it. If you treated your wife, sir, like you treated your God, how long would you be married? Think about it. It's a special place. It's a special place. We're talking about a secluded place, a solitary place, a secret place where nobody else. Can I say it's a place you pray? It's a place you can praise. It's a place you prepare for ministry. Jesus is teaching his disciples to get apart, get some rest, get some time that you spend with God so that you can be ready when the time does come to minister. It's a time, hey, it's a place where you prepare for work. It's a place you prepare for worship. You know, the reason most people, when they come in on church on Sunday mornings, and I'm not trying to be mean, but the reason most people come to church on Sunday mornings and they're half asleep and they're not even ready to worship God, I mean, they don't want to sing, they don't want to shout, they don't want to get excited. The message most of the time on Sunday mornings goes other. You know why? It's not because they're tired. Most times it's because they have spent no time throughout the week with God preparing themselves to worship. We've got time for football. We've got time for shopping. We've got time for fishing. We've got time for hunting. We've got time for television. We've got time for movies. We've got time for music. We've got time for ball games. We've got time for this one and that one and this and that. And then we come to church on Sunday morning because, oh, it's 11 o'clock. Let's go to church. And we have given no attention to detail. And we come to church and we say, that was kind of all right. And they expect the choir to sing some amazing note that's going to wake them up and thrill their heart, and the preacher to preach something they've never heard to amaze them and astound them, when the truth of the matter is that if most people would spend some time with God throughout the week, looking forward to and preparing their heart, when they came to church on Sunday morning, nobody would have to ask them to worship. The truth of the matter is, if we had our hearts right and prepared and we spent time with God all week long, we wouldn't come in and sing 15 songs to get going. We may not even have to sing any songs. People would come in shouting when they got here. And it's not all about shout. I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight. But ready to worship and fall at his feet. Until you spend time with him, you're not going to be prepared. You gotta spend time with him. It's a special place where you prepare not only to work, not only to worship, but you prepare to meet the world. You're not gonna be, Brother Robbie, you're not gonna be able to handle the situations that you handle at work. You're not gonna be able to deal with the people you deal with, Brother Steve. You're not gonna be able to deal with the things you face out there in the world until you've spent time with God. There's an old song I heard a few years ago. It's Truth. I can't remember, but the truth of the matter, it says, how can I be real until I kneel? How can I be real until I kneel? And the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of people going through the Christian life, and it's a facade. Everybody knows they go to church, and so when they get in need, they say, this one's a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And you got to put on some kind of facade. But the truth of the matter is, if we learn to kneel and spend time with him, nobody have to come by and say that when they know it. You know, the book of Acts talks about the Christians there in Berea, I think it is, or in Acts chapter number 17. And it talks about, these are they. He talked about, he said, they turned the world upside down. You know why they turned the world upside down? Because they spent time with God. The Church of Acts was a praying church. They were a worshiping church. They were a group of people. They didn't have everything they wanted, but they knew that in him they had everything they needed. They were prepared because they spent time with him. It's a place, let me say, a special place. It's a place where we rest. It's a place where we recuperate. You know, you go. Anybody that's ever done ministry knows that there's some toil in ministry. I'm talking, you don't have to be an ordained preacher to be in ministry. If you're a child of God, you're in ministry. You do the work of the ministry. And if you witness and you deal with people, I promise you, you're going to come across people that hurt your feelings. You're going to come across people that you debate with, and you're going to try to explain to them and give them an answer for the hope that lies within you. It's going to wear you down. And you need a place where you can go not only rest, but to recuperate. You need a place where you can refocus. You go, I promise you, you live in the same world I live in, And your focus sometimes tends to get over here and over here and over here. But you come back to that special place and you can refocus on Him. You know, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's a place where we refocus, a place where we refresh. It's a place where we renew ourselves in Him and we find the joy of the Lord that is our strength. It's a place that we need. It's a place we need to be challenged. I need to be challenged. Areas of my life where I need to grow, He challenges me in my secret place. He challenges me and He shows me where I'm not up to par. He shows me this area and this area. It's a place I'm challenged and it's a place where I'm changed. Because as I yield my body, as I lay my body down before Him and I say, here I am, God, take me. You know, we used to sing songs like, mold me, make me, break me. You don't hear much of that anymore in preaching, singing. You don't hear when people, Lord, take me and break me, mold me and make me. Most people are just saying, God, bless me. But when we yield ourselves to Him and say, here I am, God, take me. Do what you want. Hey, He'll challenge you. He'll change you. Let me say this. It's a place where not only am I challenged and changed, but it's a place where I'm charged. It's kind of like that cell phone. You use that cell phone all day long, and that battery level dwindles. And you get down to the end of the day, and that battery says low. Plug up to charger. Anybody ever saw that? Plug up to charger. The truth of the matter is, you don't have a red graph on your face or a green bar that's going to dwindle down until it turns red. Oops, I got to go charge. Listen, but you've got an inner man inside that's dwindling from dealing with this world, dealing with the things that it deals with, and you daily, constantly, disciplinedly, you need a place where you can come apart and you spend time with God and you draw near to Him and you're challenged and you're changed and you're charged. And I promise you, if you don't, you're going to crash. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray you take this message, some practical truths, some helpful truths. God, I pray you would help to impart these truths not only to our head, but to our heart. The Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you would help us tonight to be sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. God, help us tonight. Take this message and use it as you see fit. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all across the auditorium.